Macabre. Misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Macabre Misfortunes.
Ooh, dose.
So as promised, this episode is a tad bit longer than last week's, and it also has a little bit of paranormal aspect to it.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the Cook County Jail. It's actually technically the old Cook County Jail.
Okay, where's this at?
It's at the corner of Illinois and Dearborn Streets in Chicago, and it is now a firehouse.
Huh.
The engine company number 42 firehouse, to be exact. So the firehouse has been there since 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually soon going to be replaced with a brand new firehouse that's a 30-story office tower and a new firehouse all connected together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I'm not going to tell you guys about a firehouse, because you see, before the area held the firehouse, it was the site of the Cook County Jail of Chicago. And that's what we're going to discuss today. So the Cook County Jail is actually now located in the Little Village community. And the building that used to be the Cook County Criminal Courthouse stands just to the south of the firehouse. It's now an office building. Right around the middle of the firehouse that sits there today is where the gallows once stood.
Ooh.
90 men were hung at those gallows. No women actually ever made it there.
Good.
Hangings were legal in Illinois until 1928.
Wow.
Among those who were hanged at the gallows were 4 defendants from the Haymarket Affair. And we're going to talk about the Haymarket Affair a little bit. At least I'm going to give you the nutshell version, because this was actually a huge event that not only here, but it was protests that took place all over the country. But I'll give you the nuts and bolts of it. It was a labor protest that was primarily have to do with an 8-hour workday and some immigration concerns. So back then, people were just working people as long as they wanted to work them.
Right.
And this was, you know, people talk about having an 8-hour workday. A lot of this came from stuff that happened back during this time. So May 1st, 1886, 80,000 people marched for this purpose. And this was only in Chicago. These events took place all over the country, I guess, on that particular day.
Nice.
It actually carried on until the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. Of March. On the 3rd, 2 demonstrators were shot by police.
That's not good.
This thing started out peacefully, but it turned into a riot. And at one point, there was a bomb that was thrown at the police from demonstrators. 8 police died.
Oh my gosh.
60 injured. Now, all 5 men who spoke that day at the rally, they were convicted and sentenced to hang, even though it was not proven that any of those 5 had anything to do with the bombing.
Well, how can they do that?
Huh? I mean, this was a different time. This is the 1880s. I mean, that's why things have changed so much over the years. There were 8 people that were convicted altogether, but it was the 5 men who all spoke at that rally were all convicted. I said there was lots of criticism about this all over the country, because obviously this was headline news. 4 of the men eventually did hang. The 5th, a gentleman by the name of Louis Ling, the night before he was scheduled to be executed, he bit down on a dynamite cap and blew his head off.
What in the heck? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So when I say these shows are going to be about tragedy and stuff, this is all the stuff that took place on this property.
I mean, honestly, think about it. You know that this isn't your fault, but you're going to be killed anyway.
Right.
Well, so he did just take it in his own hands?
Well, nobody said that it wasn't their fault. It was just never proven that they had anything to do with it. That's what I meant.
So he just figured, I'm just going to take care of myself. You're not going to have the pleasure.
I guess so.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. Oh, my gosh. Couldn't he have thought of something else?
There was another man who was hung at the gallows. He was a serial killer by the name of Johann Otto Hock. He was known as the Bluebeard Murderer. He liked to marry women and then steal their money and then either leave them or just kill them.
Yeah, well, he needed to go.
He, of course, had an assortment of aliases. He was originally from Germany, and he moved to Chicago in 1895. His choice of killing his wives was poisoning them with arsenic, which was pretty popular back in that time. That was a lot of people were killed by arsenic because it was harder to detect.
I mean, if I had a choice, I guess I'd probably rather do arsenic than have your head blown off or something.
I would think so. By the time the police actually caught up with him...
Don't get no ideals either.
Ideas.
Whatever.
He had married and dispatched of at least 55 women.
Man, he's a whore.
He was convicted of murder in 1905 and hanged in 1906. Now, as odd as this is going to sound, many of the men who met their death at the gallows would sing before their execution.
The men that were getting ready to be hung, they sung?
Yeah, they would like just be singing.
But right? Like Highway to Hell?
Probably not, but that's probably what had that been out in the, 1900s. Maybe so.
Well, I don't wonder why they did that. Are you getting ready to tell me?
Maybe hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Oh, sorry. That's not all funny. Right.
I really don't know why. But one of the most famous was a man by the name of Carl Wanderer.
Well, I'm a wanderer.
This guy
was a case.
You
know I was going to say it.
This guy was a case.
Uh-oh.
His case was known as the case of the Ragged Stranger. Now get this guy. Wanderer had been a lieutenant in the U.S. Army and World War I. He also was a successful butcher in town. In 1919, he married a 20-year-old woman named Ruth Johnson. Now, he was a lot older than her. They moved into an apartment with her parents. Wanderer had already lost that loving feeling, so to speak, and he started dating around a little bit, and he found a 16-year-old girl by the name of Julia Schmidt.
What is his problem?
That he was dating. That's when Ruth, his wife, found out that she was pregnant.
Aww.
Wanderer had a plan, though, and it was not to be a father. One day in 1920, he walked up to a homeless man in the old Madison Street Skid Row area. So he tells the man that his wife had lost faith in his manhood, we'll say, and she didn't think he was as much of a man as he used to be back when he was a soldier and all that stuff. So she was questioning how much of a man he really was. So he wanted to prove her wrong. So he tells this man, this homeless man, here's the plan. I'll give you $10, which is a lot of money in 1920. I'll give you $10 if tonight when we go to the movies, as we're coming back out of the theater, you jump out and you threaten me. You're going to rob us. And then I'm going to fight back and I'm going to look like that I'm a man to my wife. So the guy was like, okay, it's 10 bucks, which was probably closer to $100 today for somebody homeless.
Yeah.
So he was good with it. He gives him the $10 up front. And he even gives him a gun. Here's your gun. It's to make it look better. Okay?
Damn, he's awful trusting.
Yes. As you could probably guess, that really wasn't the plan. That's what the homeless guy thought the plan was.
Oh, I thought that was a plan too. What's up?
Well, Wander and his wife, they left Pershing Theater on Lincoln Square. The man jumps out from behind a bush and he pretends to ambush.
He said, "Wookie boogie boo boogie."
And as he's waiting for a Wanderer to throw a punch that he was willing to take, that's when Wanderer instead pulled out his own gun. He shot the homeless man and then shot his wife. Killed them both. This happened in front of the building where the couple actually lived.
What?
So Wanderer, when the cops get there, he claims that the man killed his wife and then he shot the man in self-defense.
Did they believe him?
Well, at first, it kind of seemed like, okay, this seems like it could be okay. And the guy was actually looked at as a hero by the public. I mean, he shot this guy that killed his wife and, you know, all this stuff.
What a dick.
Police were a little bit skeptical, though. First of all, why did a vagrant have such a nice gun and have no money? How did he get such a nice gun? This was a really good gun, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's good for them cops thinking that.
So then they look at the gun and the serial number. It seems that the serial number on the gun that the vagrant had was only a couple of numbers off.
From what he had.
From the one he had. So they did a search. And it turns out that that gun was registered to Wanderer's cousin. So they go to him about this and they're like, "How did he get this gun? How did he get your cousin's gun? Don't that seem kind of a coincidence?" And Wanderer said, "Oh, I actually had two guns on me. And during the skirmish, the homeless guy took one of my guns." Long story short, they were like, "Why did you have two guns on you? That's, none of this made sense."
It's not the Wild West, you know.
No. So they determined that he was lying and he was sentenced to death.
Good.
But when he walked up to the gallows, he was singing. So you would think, you know, people wouldn't normally sing, but I guess maybe that was their way of taking their mind off of what was going on or whatever the situation was.
I want to know what he's singing.
I don't know.
Man, what a douchebag.
So obviously, with all this tragedy that's taken place there, all the hangings, 90 mm-hmm. hangings, guy blew his head off and all this stuff, that there actually would be maybe some paranormal activity going on. And you would be correct. But where are the hauntings at? They're at the firehouse, because that's what's there now.
Oh, man. But they didn't bargain for that.
There have been plenty of stories. Firefighters for years have reported a moaning or wailing ghost. And we talked about Louis Ling, who basically blew his head off with a dynamite cap.
Oh my gosh.
The story is that he didn't die instantly, believe it or not.
Get out of here. Like a chicken.
In fact, he was left severely disfigured and he lived another 6 hours before
he died. Oh, how horrible.
Many think that it's him that you hear moaning.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh my gosh, that poor man.
And we talked about the serial killer who married the 55 women. His ghost is reportedly seen at the jail and has been seen since the very next day after his execution.
Dang. He don't give up, does he?
And of course, the last gentleman we're going to talk about that killed his wife and the vagrant, he and others have been heard singing in the firehouse. So there were several apparently that sang on their way to the gallows, and now the firemen actually hear random singing, even though they can't find anybody who is actually doing the singing.
Wow. That's crazy.
All right, that's the story for this week.
That's very interesting.
As usual, we're going to end on a disturbing fact.
Blech.
Tracy.
What?
We've bought several dog toys for Ninja.
We have.
What do most dog toys have in them?
Squeaky things.
Right. Do you know why that's the case?
No.
Well, dogs like the squeaking sound because they're predators in the long run. I mean, they're built in. They have hunting in them, all dogs. The squeak toy actually sounds like prey that is frightened or injured. That's why dogs like squeak toys.
I'll be dang.
So when they go after the little bone and it's squeaking, makes a little sense,
yeah.
It's almost as if they have an animal, a live animal, that's making noises as it's been killed.
Aww.
Or it's injured. That's why dogs like squeak toys.
I'll be dang. I would never in a million years guess that. So. Ninja. I didn't know this about you, son.
Anyways, hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week's episode is going to have a little bit of paranormal with it as well. But primarily, it's just a fascinating story that involves Rice University in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who put forth the money
mm-hmm.
and a plot to kill him.
Oh, dang.
It's a stupid criminal story in the long run.
Yeah.
You guys are going to enjoy it. So thank you, guys. I hope you enjoy these episodes, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.